All right, welcome to another edition of Who's That DJ? My name is JSG, and I'll be going around the country talking to different DJs, past and present, getting there. Getting talking to them about what they do, understanding their journey, and seeing how they got to where they've got. So today, I have a very special guest with me, and a long time good friend of mine, Godfather. What's happening, brother?
How you doing, bro?
All good, man. All good.
Yeah, I'm good, mate. I'm good.
Right, so how we normally start the shows is we basically get DJ to introduce themselves
Okay.
and like give them a little backstory about who they are, where they come from.
Wow.
So yeah, tell us who you are.
Okay,
Give us
so
your backstory.
I go by the name of DJ Godfather. I've been DJing since 2002 officially. That's when I got my first booking, October 2002. I specialize in R&B, mainly old school. That's it really. I can play other genres as well, obviously, but my main focus is old school R&B, old school hip hop, a little bit of dancehall as well. I play garage and jungle as well.
Cool. So what got you into DJing, and like what was it about the music that said, yeah, I want to turn around and be a DJ?
I've always liked music from when I was a little boy anyway. My dad used to buy loads of records and all that kind of stuff, but he's more a reggae and soul man. And I remember going to, it was secondary school really, when Jodeci first came out, and that was the first time I thought, yeah, this 90s R&B sound is, I like this. So I always used to buy CDs and stuff like that. Then I started raving, and I remember going to Gas Club, and there was a DJ called Ease Back. Those of you who know your DJs will know about this guy. He used to warm up at Gas Club on a Tuesday. The night was called Yum Yums. He used to warm up for George K and Jigs. And I was like, yeah, this brother's bad. Like, he used to play the tunes that no one else would play. And I thought, yeah, I like this. Because that's what I like, the tunes that no one else would play. And that was it, really. I got into to just raving from then. And then I lived in Derby for a little while. And I learned to DJ up there. Shout out Ruckus from Birmingham. And that was it. Came back down to London and linked up my god brother Mark, and
The rest is history. Cool. All right, cool. So DJing, let's say since 2002 up and down. Where was your first booking? Do you remember
It
how
was
that all came about?
it was at City University. The night was called Pressure Cooker. As again, shout out to my boy Mark T, my god brother. We're more like family, so we call each other cousins. I remember he called me and he's like, look, got a booking for you. And I was like, bro, am I ready for this? Do I really want to do this? I was like, yeah, go on, just do it. So it was me, Shorty Blitz, Nick Smooth, and a female DJ called Nikki. It was really good, yeah. Like, I enjoyed it. It was a nice crowd. And it just rolled on from there. From there, I followed him. He used to get a lot of West End bookings. So I used to play in Ten Rooms, Mayfair Club, Planet Hollywood at the time as well. So, yeah, right.
Cool. Okay, so one of the things that I wanted to talk to you about was obviously you run an event called Remember the Time, so which is a night dedicated to old school R&B and all those other genres of music from like 90s, early 2000s.
That's right, yeah.
So talk to me behind the ideas of how that night came about, and yeah, what the purpose of it is and all that sort of stuff.
Again, I think it came from going out, going to certain other old school events, and just thinking, oh, these, like, they're good. Because don't get me wrong, for me, 90s is the best era of music, hands down. But you go to certain events, you think, oh, these guys, they play the same tunes. I thought, no, I want to do an event. I was hungry to do an event anyway. So I thought, yeah, put the idea together, booked a certain set of DJs, and I remember briefing them and saying to them, when you play, think outside the box. You don't have to play No One Else by Total. You don't have to play Doing It by LL Cool J. You can step outside the box because 90s is the era of music that everyone of a certain age knows, and they should know every tune, even the tune that was number 12 on the album. You know what I mean?
Of course.
So that's where it came from there, really. And then obviously as time's gone on, it's evolved where I started booking different DJs because, you know, you go out, you hear someone play, you think, ooh,
So in terms of, I was kind of just going to touch on that, in terms of obviously for your first event, how did you pick your DJs? Was it people you already knew, or was it a case of...
It was more people I knew. So I had Top Cats on there, family, shout out Top Cats from day one.
Yeah.
Conspiracy, family, shout out him from day one. Mm-hmm. I booked a crew called Perfect Gents as well, shout out Data and Spice. Mm-hmm. They used to book me for their events.
Yeah.
And I thought, yeah, give them a run, you know what I mean? Like, they've done all my set, which was, yeah, they done well.
Yeah.
But as I said, as time's gone on, they've kind of taken a step back from the DJing. But
right.
Conspiracy and Top Cats are still involved fully in the scene, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So, in terms of setting the event up, so I wanted to, like, kind of get into the nitty-gritty, but without, like, dotting the I's and crossing the T's.
Right, right.
So, in terms of you saying, all right, cool, here's the idea for an event, this is what I want to do, and then saying, all right, I'm going to have this event in this venue, line up these DJs, I want you to just kind of delve into the process a bit more in terms of what you need to do to be able to, say, create an event from start to finish, just so that people out there who are DJs don't necessarily know how to run an event can do that.
Obviously, first and foremost, you need to have an idea, and you need to be very confident that your idea is going to work. Selecting a venue is just preferences to where you want to do it, I guess.
Okay.
I mean, I chose Reva because it was down the road from where I am. It was a venue that no one at all was using as well, and it was nice. So I thought, let me give it a go. I had to twist his arm a little bit to get to use it, but shout out to Mark at Reva again. But after the first event, he was happy with how it went.
Okay.
But in terms of equipment, like I said, you've got to be very positive and confident that you can pull it off. The way I do my events is, when I do my lineup, I think, right, I need a DJ that can play this, a DJ that can play that. So I book DJs on their strengths, not just, I want to book this person because of his name. Because what you find is, you might pick a lineup, have six big names, and then think, well, where are they going to play? Who's going to do that set? Who's going to, you know what I mean? That's how I do my thing.
Okay. Cool. So just in terms of contacting the venue, is it a case of you just say, I want to have the event, and they kind of give you a thing and say, yeah, or do you have to, like, put together, like, almost like a little business plan or...
You kind of, you ring the venue or you email them. Better to email first. But what I do with the email, I don't put too much info into it. I just say the age group, which I think is quite key for some venues as well. The dress code, again, which I think is quite key for some venues, and the music policy, because, as you know, some venues, when you put certain genres of music, straight away they're like, so put that information in. Don't say your lineup or anything like that. If they like it, then they'll get back to you. Then you take it from there. You go down, have a meeting with them, and
Just iron out all the bits and pieces to say, okay, cool. Good stuff. So in terms of development for yourself, obviously you have that event at the moment, but you're doing other events as well as that. So in terms of where do you see yourself growing to at a certain point where you stop DJing and just run events, or will you always be involved in...
That's a good question. I enjoy DJing. I still do. I think at the age I'm at now, 41, by the way, I'm not going to get booked every week because of what I specialise in. Well, I say that in terms of the city circuit that I'm well known in, I'm not going to get booked every week in that circuit because the scene moves so quickly, as you know. A lot of events now want upfront new music throughout the whole night, which is fine. That's how they work. I'm gonna get booked the odd week in a month, so maybe 2 weeks out of a month from now. So it then makes me think, maybe I do want to put on an event. Not every month, but I want an event where it keeps me involved in the scene somewhat. I mean, that's a very tough question. It is because I still would like to be out every week.
So
I think that's for me to look at where I am. Is there any other avenues I could go down? Still maybe play out every week.
Okay.
So I'm actually in the process of doing that at the moment.
Cool. All right. Another topic that I wanted to talk to you about is to do with warm-up DJs.
Yes.
Because I saw that you put obviously a post up saying that you're not, at this current point in time, you're not really active as, or you're not really active for whatever reason, but you're available to do warm-up slots if required. And I think quite an interesting topic in the DJ space at the moment is around warm-up DJs. What is your view on warm-up DJs, and what say if you're booking in a warm-up DJ for your event, what would you expect from them, etc. going forward?
Well, okay, another good question. Like this. All right, in terms of my DJ career at the moment, as I said, I still get booked at least twice a month anyway. Shout out to Diverse Nights, James and Junior. Look after me like no other promoter does.
Yeah,
got to put that out of there for a start. I know they've got a lot of haters, but them man, look after me.
Yeah.
I always started off as a warm-up DJ anyway. Okay. And I think any new DJ coming into this thing needs to start as a warm-up DJ. As you know, how things are now, music is easy to get hold of.
Yeah, yeah.
I personally don't like new R&B and hip-hop. It might be the odd one or two tunes. I think, yeah, that sounds all right, but I'm not a fan. I could easily download the top 20 new R&B and hip-hop tunes,
yeah,
but I wouldn't know what order to mix them in, what order to play them in, which tune creates them. I'm not about that.
Yeah.
As a DJ, I think you need to learn how to be able to play in different parts of the night. The warm-up DJ is the most important DJ of the night, in my opinion, because they set the tone how the night's going to follow.
Right.
Certain events I've been to, you know if the warm-up DJ hasn't been good, because essentially warm-up is 10 to 12-ish, I would say. But if at half 12, that DJ is still trying to get the crowd going, that means the DJ that played 11 to 12 didn't get the crowd going.
Right, yeah.
So the night then doesn't warm up until 2 o'clock.
That's better,
Usually
about the timeline.
That's no good for the crowd. So I think warm-up is vital. What I expect from a warm-up DJ is, don't come and rinse out the tunes that you're going to play between 1 and 2. You don't need to do that. In a warm-up, you can play what you want. And that's why I enjoy a warm-up set. That's why I put the post out there.
Yeah.
I'd love to do warm-up sets. And when I get booked now, essentially I get booked anytime between 10 and 12, 31-ish, and 3 till 4. Because 3 till 4 is almost like a warm-up set as well, really.
Yeah.
That's warming down.
Yeah.
But that's where you get to play
the
single.
I get that. That's cool. So I definitely think that's a valid point now. Definitely. If your warm-up DJ, if you use a warm-up DJ, is not good, then
Yeah, and I think as well, a lot of the new DJs, they've got an ego.
Right, yeah.
Don't want to play warm-up. Like, I've been to places and new DJs look at you, look at established man like myself, and it's like, what are you doing there?
Yeah.
Right. And I just think, mate, if we never open the doors, there would be no opportunity for you lot to even come and stand in a booth with us. That's not even a big-headed statement, that's just fact.
Yeah.
So, again, I think all new DJs, you need to learn how to do the warm-up set. It is vital. Vital. And you learn more about yourself as a DJ as well, I think.
Yeah, of course. I think over my career, I've definitely understood and know how to obviously pace myself right at night.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the venues that I do, I'm pretty much the only DJ from start to finish.
Right.
So it's kind of the first 2 hours are just literally just building up,
that's
getting
right.
on over to the dance floor.
Yeah.
And then you play the bangers in the middle, and then, you know, towards the end is like sing along. So do you think that another issue that I think I've noticed with a few of the newer DJs is just a patience issue? Because, as you said, music is so easy to get a hold of now. They think they can just go do, like, play bangers all night, and that will get them through. Yeah, what do you think about, like, the patience thing?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think DJs are kind of put on a pedestal, almost like we're superstars. And I think new DJs want to be feel like that, which is fine, because that's essentially why you do it. You want to be known, you want to be popular, but don't rinse the tunes, because what happens is you ruin the flow of the night.
Yeah.
Like, if you play the top 20 tunes, top 30 tunes, in the middle, at 1 till 2, for instance, and I've seen DJs do it, they'll play, like, the top 10 R&B tunes, the top 10 hip-hop tunes, the top 10 bashment tunes.
Right.
So the next DJ that comes on, what do you want them to do now?
Yeah, exactly.
Because how I structure my nights is I have a warm-up set, an early dancehall set, a main R&B and hip-hop set, a main dancehall set, then a warm-down set.
Right, yeah.
Because I like my nights to be structured. So that means that if I say to you, you're doing a first dancehall set, I don't need to play R&B and hip-hop.
Right, yeah.
I'm not telling you what tunes to play, but that's the genre I want you to stick in. And I think a lot of DJs kind of need that structure.
Yeah, yeah.
Otherwise,
so they know
exactly what they're... You know, and I think ravers as well, this is very important. You've got to understand how a night works. So you can't come and ask a DJ at 11:30, 12 o'clock to play the latest tune because we're not going to do it. We're not being rude. We just know how a night works, so we're not going to do that. So ravers, please don't do that. Just let the promoters and the DJs do their thing. 100%. If you have an issue, contact the promoter afterwards or contact the DJ afterwards and say, and then we can explain to you, this is how a night works. Then when you go out in future, you might
know what to expect. Because I'm guessing as your events are now at the moment, the guys that come out to your events to rave, they already know what they're getting. So they're less likely to be like, oh, we need to play Bashman. Why you're in the middle of an R&B set? Because they know who's coming to do
that. That's right. And what I do with Remember the Time especially, I will print the timetable out and I'll place it around the venue.
Right, okay, so people know what...
That's right. Don't ask no questions. It's there, so you know, oh, that DJ's coming on such time playing that genre of music.
Okay, cool. So, in terms of going backwards almost a little bit, who were the DJs that, as you were coming up, that you were saying, yeah, I want to get to these kind of levels?
Good question. Wow. Well, as I said, when I used to go to Gas Club, Easeback was someone I looked up to in terms of how he'd done a warm-up set.
Okay.
I used to hear Rampage and think, wow, solid. Galflex, shout out Simon and Dixie, boys, family they are, and I booked them now. Again, they're legends in the scene. There's no question about that. And when I used to go out and rave, there's someone you look up to and think, oh, yeah, man.
Yeah.
So, you know, luckily for me, I've come up with a lot of DJs that I kind of looked up to.
Okay.
So I've had a chance to book them throughout doing my events, because not only doing Remember the Time, I used to do an event called IOU.
Okay.
With Top Cats and Conspiracy. We need to bring that back, boys. We need to bring it back. So from doing that, I got to book the likes of Big Business, Love Connection, GNs, Smooth Connection at the time, Raw Vibes. We booked loads of people that, these are DJs that I DJed alongside, but I looked up to thinking, like, these are
proper,
you know.
Of course, definitely. Sending shouts out to XL from Big Business.
Yeah, do you know what? XL, for me, is the best DJ on the circuit. When on his day, untouchable. Absolutely untouchable. Shout out XL. He, mate, him and Simple Simon for me are the top two.
Yeah, got a lot of time for them guys.
Very humble.
So at the moment, what's your favorite piece of equipment to use when you're DJing? Like, I'm guessing when you started, you would have started on vinyl.
That's right,
gone to CDJs and now on the Serato. What's your...
I still like the CDJ feel of the Serato, the box. I've got a controller and I use it when I do mix CDs at home.
Okay.
Or if I get booked to do a wedding or a Christmas or something, I'll bring a controller out unless the venue's got decks already. But I prefer the decks. When I got the controller, I was like, I like this. But then when I went back to the decks, I was like, nah, I don't like the controller anymore.
Definitely more tactile feel, I think, with using the decks as opposed to the controller.
But I'm one of those DJs where whatever equipment's there, I'm just going to use
it. You can use it.
I'm not going to be like, oh, it's a controller, I don't want to use it. Oh, decks, I don't, you know.
Yeah.
Of course. If you can mix, then you can use anything, as far as I'm concerned.
Cool. All right, so we're going to talk about the DJ circuit for the moment. So one of the questions that I like asking other DJs is, what do you think of the current DJ circuit at the moment in the climate? What do you think needs to be like improved, and what do you think is great it is at the moment and you should see more of?
Ooh.
Two part question.
Okay, so I think the scene is healthy. As much as there is a so-called lack of venues, promoters are still managing to put on events. Shout out to all the DJs that are putting on big events. Capital puts on massive events. Shout out to him, shout out to Nate, because Capital used to book me quite a lot as well. What I would say is, though, what you find with some of these DJs and promoters that are putting on events, they're monopolizing the scene, which I don't like. I think that, yes, you've done the hard work, or someone else has done the hard work to get the venue for you. I get that. So you're going to put events in there, that's fine. But what you find is sometimes these promoters will throw a date in a venue, and you know, deep down inside, you can tell they didn't really want to do it, but the venue's probably said to them, the date's available, do you want to do it? Because I've had a venue say to me, and I'm like, nah, because you just think you're not ready for it. I think what they need to do is people who they network with and get on well with, I think you've got a good crowd, say to that person, look, this date's available, I don't want it, do you
Give
want
them
to do
that first
something?
right of refusal to
Yeah,
say
because then it does keep the scene it more open, and it's wider as well, instead of just saying, right, well, I've got hold of this venue, I've got hold of that venue. Because people say to me, oh, like, you've got Reaver Unlocked. No, I haven't. I do events in there, yes, but if you want to do an event in there, by all means, do it. I'll give you the link. That's not a
Of
problem.
course.
Do you know what I mean? I'm not selfish like that, you know? But yeah, I think it is very healthy. There's a lot of good new DJs out as well.
Definitely.
Yeah, there's quite a few. I need to get out more so I can hear them. Not necessarily that I'll book them, but
Just want to
just,
see the different types of definitely. And I can say with no hesitation, like I've seen, I'll just reel off a few DJs that I've seen. So you've got FaZe, who's a guy that's been working within my circle quite a bit. Great DJ. Super Mids shut down Canterbury one time when I was there, and I was like, yeah, definitely need to network with him. You've got Caramel, who's coming through, who's a lady I've been spending some time with. So she's doing her bits at the moment, which is, I'm happy for her. Yeah, there's loads of new DJs that are coming through, and they're naturally talented, so you don't have to spend a lot of time showing them how to do stuff. You just say, boom, this is what I want you to play, and they'll go off
And
and
that's
do it.
why I mean the scene is healthy, because you're telling me names of DJs I've never heard of.
Right.
So your scene is healthy. My scene is healthy because, like I've said earlier, I'm only out now maybe twice a month, but I'm still out. So you've got the likes of myself, Big Business, Love Connection, Invasion, Longers, Conspiracy, Top Cats. Trying to think of something. If I'm forgetting you, I don't mean to. Yeah, Flex.
These are all people that I'm planning to interview at some stage as well.
And
So,
we're all still relevant. Slick. Then you've got like Capital, Bill Gates, Nate, DJ Lani, Mad Influence. These are people that were kind of under us, but are now flourishing. Trying to think who else I'm missing out. Like I said, once again, apologies if I have missed you out, but there's a lot of us still doing it and
Still doing it, of course.
keeping what you would call the city circuit alive.
So, as you mentioned, obviously, would you say your core is the city, or are you quite happy to now like branch out and do different things? Because I'm seeing guys like Milktree who are doing events now in Birmingham and a few other DJs like that. So, do you think that you could see yourself doing something like that, like doing
100%.
national bookings,
Yeah, I
etc.?
think I'd like to, because I think in London we assume that we're the best DJs. And you know, I've got to say we are. Sorry, anyone out of London, but we are. So yeah, of course you want to test yourself in other areas. Like you said, obviously I'm a city circuit DJ. So the city is obviously EC, but I will go to deep south, deep north, deep east, deep west if I have to, because you get the booking. I'll do it, you know. But if I ever had the opportunity to do events elsewhere, then yeah, do it 100%.
100%. Cool. All right. How are we doing? All right, cool. So I've got almost a challenge for you. So it's going to be an interesting one. All right. So as you saw with the last interview I did, I asked, gave a scenario and she had to give me 3 tracks for each scenario. So I'm going to do the same with you.
Oh, jeez.
But we're going to have a little bit of, it's not going to be the same scenario. Because I know that you're a football man. Right. Someone's your team.
Yep.
So
we're
going to do a scenario based around, loosely around football.
Right.
Okay, so first track I want from you, and it can be R&B or it can be any track. But as we know, Tottenham are doing well right now, but they're not winning stuff at the moment.
Yeah.
So what track would you pick if Tottenham won the Premier League? What would be your go-to track to say,
oh my goodness,
I'm playing this the moment last goal or the minute the last whistle is blown?
Wow. Maybe it's got to be a hype tune, an impact tune.
Yeah.
Maybe like DMX Up In Here, maybe, because if we done that, I think I would lose my mind. So I think, yeah.
Cool. All right, cool. Scenario 2 now is you've had a good run in the Champions League, you get to the final, and you lose on a last minute penalty. So you've gone to, I don't know, you've gone to the family's house. What tune would you ask them to play for you to be like, listen, it's all good, next year we'll go again? Like, what's that tune that makes you think like, oh, all right, cool, it was a bit bad, but you know, don't worry about it next time? So it's almost like your pick me up tune when you're feeling not happy for whatever reason.
Well, it's got to be a R&B tune, I think, for that.
Let's say it can be track 12 of the Smarco album, or
I would say Big Bub, I Like Your Style.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not a tune I'm familiar with, but I'm definitely going to look at it.
Yeah, it's a new Jack Swing tune. When you hear it, you'll know it.
Right.
When you hear it, you'll know it. But that's a tune that I'll play regular. Yeah.
Okay, cool. All right, cool. So we know Arsenal's arch rivals are Tottenham. I mean, yeah, so you just, not only have Tottenham beaten Arsenal,
which we do, yeah,
you've knocked them out of the cup. So yeah. What tune are you sending to your Arsenal friend to say, yeah, you suck and you lost?
Like,
just to wind them up even more.
Vibes Cartel, Touch a Button.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's a good tune, actually, still. I like that. All right, cool. I know what to send your way when the opposite is true. All right, cool. So final few questions.
Yeah, mate.
So we're middle of 2018 at the moment. What do you see yourself doing, or what do you see the next movement is for Godfather?
I think I just want to try and, through the remaining years of my DJ career, test myself in other areas. Okay. So be that out of London, be that in London, but areas that I don't usually play. Because playing in the city, I enjoy it. I love it.
Yeah.
But I want to see if I can play that way in Shoreditch or Camden or something like that.
Yeah.
See, because I know that they love hip-hop and R&B there.
Mm-hmm.
But do they like Drake, Migos, right, or do they want to hear what I'm going to come with?
Mm-hmm.
So I think I want to try and get into that kind of avenue.
Mm-hmm.
I'm putting on, or helping my brother Sticksy D, Aaron Sticks, shout out to him, baddest old school garden house DJ on the road, that's facts.
Mm-hmm.
I'm helping him put on an event as well.
Okay.
It's going to be a big event.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because as much as I'm an R&B and hip-hop specialist,
mm-hmm,
I love old school garage.
Yeah.
Like, I used to rave to old school garage. Sometimes I think, why did I not play garage?
Yeah.
Because, you know, I just loved R&B more.
Yeah.
You know, so that's another avenue I'm thinking to go down into as well. But
okay.
I'm still happy to take City Bookings because, as I said, I love the city. You know, it's where I started. I've got to send a big shout out to Lloyd Laff because he was the one who opened the doors for me to get onto the city circuit in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
So the best event I've ever played at.
Yeah.
Barring IOU, remember the time, obviously. But Soul Deep was the standout city event at Silks and Spice, whoever remembers that venue. And that was all down to Lloyd Life opening the doors for a lot of us, really, to be in the city.
Okay, cool. what's on your iPod at the moment? So every week I kind of talk about albums I'm listening to and stuff like that. So at the moment, I'm still listening to Fonte's No News Is Good News from Lil Brother, which came out a couple weeks ago now. Great album, so definitely go and check it out. And Glam as well, Oxygen, so it's spelled AUX and then the rest of Oxygen.
Wow, that's
a great album as well. So what are you currently listening to?
Obviously, as you know, I'm old school, isn't it? So it's a toss-up between A-Marie's first album or Teedra Moses. That's what I kind of flick between. Okay. But usually A-Marie's first album. I don't know why, I just keep drawing myself to listening to it. Because it is good. So.
Fair enough. Best track on the album?
Wow. Probably Talking to Me.
Okay. Yeah. Good track.
Yeah.
Definitely a good track. Cool. All right. So almost coming to the end of today's interview. So where can people find you online, connect with you, network with you, that sort of thing?
Okay, so Instagram, at DJGodfather76, and Twitter, Godfather_DJ. They're the best places to kind of catch. I'm trying to use my Twitter a lot more now.
Okay.
It's easy to use. I'm on Facebook as well, Junior Murdoch, MURDOCK. Any of those you can find me on. You want to book me, you want to chat to me, whatever. DJs that might want some advice on how to put a set together if they want to get booked, or, you know, I might be able to bully a promoter for you now. I might be able to speak to a promoter and say, listen, I've listened to this guy and he ain't too bad.
Yeah.
Give him a go, because I don't put on events regularly, so I can't, you know.
I can't say,
but, that's where you can find me, so look me up.
Cool. All right. I was going to ask you something else, but I cannot remember. Maybe we'll do another interview.
Yeah,
and definitely. Then when I remember that, I will ask you again. it's been a pleasure
having
you on the show. Definitely. So, as I said before, stay tuned. YouTube guys, subscribe, turn on notifications so you know when I'm uploading the videos. It's definitely going to be on a weekly basis. I've got great DJs lined up, but I'm not going to name them till we sat down and spoke about it. So the iTunes guys, just subscribe and let me know your feedback, and same for SoundCloud guys as well. So until next time, peace out. I've been JSG, he's been Godfather.
Wicked.